As I said, we've got a slightly different service this morning. We have a guest who will be speaking in honor of peace and the season for peace and nonviolence. I'll introduce her in just a few moments. But I'd like to open, and instead of a meditation this morning, you can certainly take it as a meditation. We'll probably even bring the lights down. But there are so many incredible individuals in the world today who are moving the process of peace forward in spite of all the wars and things that are going on. These people continue to work tirelessly. One is the wonderful Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, who Mona will be talking about in just a little bit. But one of my personal heroes, besides the Dalai Lama and some of the others, is a Vietnamese Buddhist monk by the name of Thich Nhat Hanh. How many of you heard of him? Marvelous man, incredible man. You may not know this, but he was nominated by Dr. Martin Luther King for the Nobel Peace Prize in the 60s. He was one of the foremost proponents of peace during the Vietnam War era, working so tirelessly to save people and to end the war. He is a man who dedicated to nonviolence. And he has many wonderful books out, one of them called Being Peace, The Miracle of Mindfulness, all these wonderful books. But one of my favorites is this called Teachings on Love. And what I like about him is he uses the process. He teaches you techniques to use, not just movement techniques, but he actually talks in the way that he says we should practice. And something I want to read to you this morning, it's a little longer reading than normal, and I think many of you would like to take it as a meditation. So Mark, you can bring the lights down whenever you would like. But if you get comfortable for a moment, and he talks about three prostrations. And when he says prostrations, he's talking not about lying down on the ground in that way. He's talking about being completely present in meditation. So I'm going to read three prostrations here, and these prostrations are to celebrate our oneness with all of life. The first prostration connects us with our past and with all people who have ever lived. The second prostration connects us with all other beings, and the third connects us with the earth. The first prostration. Take this for yourself. If you choose, close your eyes and join with me as I read this. Touching the earth, I connect with ancestors and descendants of both my spiritual and my blood families. My spiritual ancestors include the Buddha, the Bodhisattvas, the Noble Sangha of Buddha's disciples, and all others who have been in my life and all other spiritual teachers. And my own spiritual teachers still alive or already passed away. They are present in me because they have transmitted to me seeds of peace, wisdom, love, and happiness. They have woken up in me my resource of understanding and compassion. When I look at my spiritual ancestors, I see those who are perfect in the practice of the precepts, understanding, and compassion, and those who are still imperfect. I accept them all because I see within myself shortcomings and weaknesses. Aware that my practice of the principles is not always perfect, and I am not always as understanding and compassionate as I would like to be, I open my heart and accept all my spiritual descendants. Some of my descendants practice the principles, understanding, and compassion in a way which invites confidence and respect. But there are also those who come across with many difficulties and are constantly subject to ups and downs in their practice. In the same way, I accept all my ancestors on my mother's side and my father's side of the family. I accept all their good qualities and their virtuous actions, and I also accept all their weaknesses. I open my heart and accept all my blood descendants with their good qualities, their talents, and also their weaknesses. My spiritual ancestors and my blood ancestors, my spiritual descendants and my blood descendants are all part of me. I am them and they are me. I do not have a separate self. All exist as part of a wonderful stream of life which is constantly moving. The second prostration. Touching the earth, I connect with all people and all species that are alive at this moment in this world with me. I am one with the wonderful pattern of life that radiates out in all directions. I see the close connection between myself and others, how we share happiness and suffering. I am one with those who were born disabled or who have become disabled because of war, accident, or illness. I am one with those who are caught in a situation of war or oppression. I am one with those who find no happiness in family life, who have no roots and no peace of mind, who are hungry for understanding and love, and who are looking for something beautiful, wholesome, and true to embrace and to believe in. I am someone at the point of death who is very afraid and does not know what is going to happen. I am a child who lives in a place where there is miserable poverty and disease, whose legs and arms are like sticks and who has no future. I am also the manufacturer of bombs that are sold to poor countries. I am the frog swimming in the pond, and I am also the snake who needs the body of the frog to nourish its own body. I am the caterpillar or the ant that the bird is looking for to eat, but I am also the bird that is looking for the caterpillar or the ant. I am the forest that is being cut down. I am the rivers in the air that are being polluted, and I am also the person who cuts down the forest and pollutes the rivers in the air. I see myself in all species, and I see all species in me. The third prostration. Touching the earth, I let go of my idea that I am this body and my lifespan is limited. I see that this body, made up of the four elements, is not really me, and I am not limited to this body. I am part of a stream of life of spiritual and blood ancestors that for thousands of years has been flowing into the present and flows on for thousands of years into the future. I am one with my ancestors. I am one with all people and all species, whether they are peaceful and fearless or suffering and afraid. At this very moment, I am present everywhere on this planet. I am also present in the past and in the future. The disintegration of this body does not touch me, just as when the plum blossom falls, it does not mean the end of the plum tree. I see myself as a wave on the surface of the ocean. My nature is the ocean water. I see myself in all the other waves and all the other waves in me. The appearance and disappearance of the form of the wave does not affect the ocean. My Dharma body and wisdom life are not subject to birth and death. I see the presence of myself before my body manifested and after my body has disintegrated. Even in this moment, I see how I exist elsewhere than in this body. 70 or 80 years is not my lifespan. My lifespan, like the lifespan of a leaf or of a Buddha, is limitless. I have gone beyond the idea that I am a body that is separated in space and time from all other forms of life. This is the truth that I know. That all these things are the truth, that I am one with all life that has ever existed and one with all life that will ever exist. I am one with all people, I am one with all things, because it is all one and it is all God. It is all spirit and that is all in me. This is my truth. I know that peace and love are the true gifts of life and that this awareness feeds me, it feeds my spirit, and it feeds all life on the planet. I am grateful for all that I have been given. I am grateful for being here. I am grateful for being the perfect expression of God in the world. This is my truth. Knowing it, I accept it completely. I give peace to the world in my thoughts, in my deeds, in everything I do, everyone I am with, every moment. The peace that comes from me and through me is the peace that passes all understanding. For this I am grateful, and I give it freely and share it with the world. And so it is. A great treat this morning, so many ways. It was a little surprise because we tried to get this marvelous woman to speak for us today, and she was not available, but her husband, who does a lot of marvelous work with her around the country, was, and yesterday the universe gave him the flu so we could get her today. It worked out beautifully, you know? So it was a little surprise to her last night when she figured out, uh-oh, tomorrow morning. I want to tell you, just before I introduce her, about an organization called the Art of Living Foundation, and they have a table set up in the lobby. This is the group that our speakers working with and here in this capacity. It's one of the world's largest United Nations NGOs, non-governmental organizations in the world. They have centers in over 140 different countries. It was founded in 1982 by His Holiness Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, and they have touched the lives of over 300 million people in the world. They were the first on the scene to help people after the tsunami and 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina and countless other events around the world. They have done work with terrorist organizations in the Middle East, helping to pull people towards the center of peace, regardless of culture, race, or anything else. And in the United States, they have set up a campaign to create a violence-free and stress-free America, which is a pretty good goal, I think, for all of us. Mona Shah Joshi is the director of the Art of Living Foundation in Georgia, but she's far more than that. She's been traveling and teaching the Art of Living courses since 1994, almost 15 years. She's a highly regarded lecturer and instructor on yoga, meditation, Jain philosophy, and many other issues relating to harmony, diversity, and oneness, very much like the Thich Nhat Hanh reading I just read to you. In addition to teaching the Art of Living programs, she also has done a lot of work for children, college students, and professionals around the country, and she trains the trainers who train the children. So this is a woman who is immersed in peace, not just as a job, but as something that is her entire life. Both she and her husband, Abhay, do marvelous work in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Mona Joshi.
Beautiful introduction. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here this morning. I was born into the Jain faith. How many of you are familiar with Jainism? So those of you who know about it know that it's Buddhism's older sibling. And if we look at religions, we see that the values of all religious traditions are actually the same. But one may emphasize one thing more than another. In Jainism, the emphasis is actually on nonviolence. And as children, we were taught to be nonviolent both in speech and in deed. So even as small kids, we were taught that if we found an insect that was drowning in a pool of water, that we needed to pick it up and take it out. So that was inculcated in us at a very early age. But it wasn't until years later when I met His Holiness Sri Sri Ravi Shankar and I took the Art of Living course that I began to realize what nonviolence really meant. It's not something that's just a principle. You know, even the most violent criminal can espouse nonviolence, but it's a little harder to enact in action. And what I realized was that violence begins with a thought in the mind, and nonviolence begins with silence in the mind. So shall we do something right now to bring that silence within us? Let's sit comfortably in our chairs. Our feet are resting on the ground. Our palms are resting on our lap. And let's close our eyes. Mark, can we dim the light slightly, please? Let's take a long breath in. Hold the breath. And breathe out, making this sound. Ha. Once more, let's breathe in. Ha. Again, breathe in. Observe as the breath fills inside the lungs with each exhalation, relief, relaxation comes. Let's take another deep breath in. And breathing through the nose, slowly breathe out. Let's become aware of the sounds in creation. The gentle humming of the air conditioner. The soft sound of our own breath. Let us accept all the sounds in creation, in our environment. Now we're in harmony with the environment. Let's take a deep breath in and slowly, gradually breathe out. Let's become aware of this physical body. This body is a beautiful gift given to us with love. Let us love and honor this body that we've been given. Let us become aware of our feet, calves, knees, thighs, hips, abdomen, stomach, chest, shoulders, right arm, left arm, throat, spine, face, and head. Allow yourself to come into a smile. And if you're feeling grumpy this morning, a fake smile will do just as well. Notice how the nerves in the brain relax as we smile. Become aware of the whole body. Let's take a deep breath in and breathe out. Become aware of your thoughts. Good thoughts, bad thoughts, however they may be, just allow them to be. Now we're in harmony with our thoughts. Let's take a deep breath in. And slowly breathe out. Become aware of your emotions, pleasant or unpleasant. Just let them be. You are peace and love. Become aware of your emotions, thoughts, sensations in the body. And the sounds in the environment. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Let there be peace around us, peace within us, and peace in our interaction with others. Let's take a deep breath in and breathe out. And very slowly, gradually, let us gently open our eyes. And slowly we'll open our eyes. It was good? Peaceful? A violence-free society. A disease-free body. A confusion-free mind. And a smile from our soul. That is the birthright of every individual on this planet. When we create separation from others through these small identifications of religion, caste, culture, ethnicity, gender, country, with these small identifications, we create separation. And in that separation, there's violence. Because we're judging others and judging ourselves as separate from them. When we come together, unite in meditation and celebration, we engender peace. So as where one separation creates violence in thought and mind, meditation and celebration creates peace in thought, mind, and action. If you think about it, there are just a few people in this world that are actually terrorists, and they have successfully managed to terrorize the rest of us, the entire planet. Of the 6 billion people on this planet, a few thousand are causing violence, are making crime. And because of those few thousand, the rest of us are also affected. Now, if you think about it, what if we were to reverse this principle? What if a few thousand of us were to consciously practice nonviolence, consciously practice peace, and have a vision of caring for the entire world and the planet around us? Could a few thousand of us not change the way the world looks at each other? And isn't it our responsibility to do so? If not us, then whom? Look at the way violence is celebrated in creation these days. Children at a young, very young age, they realize that if they act up, if they show aggression, then they get attention. People listen to them. And they grow up with that sense. And they're supported in their beliefs by society, by the media. But there's something so beautiful in nonviolence. There's something so beautiful in non-aggression. What if those of us who are nonviolent were to make a little bit of noise? In celebration, in celebrating this diversity that we have on this creation, and realizing the harmony that we have amidst this diversity. We need to educate our children in common human values that pervade all of creation, of every culture, of every religion. Friendliness, belongingness, compassion, nonviolence, non-aggression. By inculcating these values at a very young age, children grow up with this sense of looking at the world differently, of behaving in the world differently. Imagine what our world can be like a generation from now with this vision in mind. Do you agree? You all are so silent. I'm used to having a conversation. So we need to bring pride back in being nonviolent. A pride in being compassionate. A pride in being available for others. Let this be our motto today and every day. You know, neither at school nor at home have we learned how to handle our negative emotions. Violence is what? Agitation, anger, feeling upset, depression, and then it manifests as violence, right? Both within and without us, around us. So learning something about our breath, just a little bit of knowledge about our breath, can bring us a great deal of peace inside. Think about it. What's the first thing you did when you came into this world? You took a breath in, and then you began crying. And everyone around you began celebrating. And our very last act of life will be that final breath out. And if we've lived a good life, people will be crying and we'll be celebrating. In between this first breath in and that last breath out, our entire life takes place. Yet we haven't really taken the time to look into it. Have you ever promised yourself you wouldn't get angry? Raise your hand. Has it worked for you? You know, it's so hard for the mind to control the mind. It just gets more agitated. Because the next time we're swept up in that emotion of anger, we get even more upset because I promised myself I wouldn't do it. But through the breath, we can make a definite change in the mind. Every thought in the mind has a corresponding rhythm in the breath. Every rhythm in the breath has a corresponding emotion. So when we're not able to handle the mind directly, through the breath, we can make a definite change in the mind. And if you think about it, what could be more uniting than the breath? Everyone in this room, we're taking the same breath in. Whether we're looking at someone in Ethiopia or Mongolia, South Africa or Ecuador, all of us are breathing the same air. And when we learn a little bit more about how to use this breath, did you know that 90% of our stress and toxins can be eliminated through the breath? Do you know how much we're using of our breathing capacity? About 25-30%. How much more energy we could have. And think about it, that's when we become violent, when we're tired. We come home, we're fatigued from working all day at work. Our spouse or partner or children in the house say something. Even the dog could just bark, and that can agitate us. So the very people for whom we're working so hard, we take our anger and our stress out on them. It doesn't make sense, does it? So if we can learn some breathing practices, we can calm the mind down. And when the mind is calm, we realize that peace is our very nature. It's not something that we need to read about, not something that we need to plant inside our minds. It just emanates out of us. Did you know that babies smile 400 times a day? Teenagers, 17. Adults, look Monday morning. You know, we haven't learned these basic values in life. How to smile from the heart, how to handle negative emotions, how to maintain good health, how to keep our smile no matter what's happening around us. You know, in life, we're given 80% pleasant experiences. But when the mind is stressed, it takes those 80% pleasant experiences, forgets them, takes the 20% of difficulty that we've had, and turns it into 220%. And then we get upset. You know, we get depressed about what we have in our life, and we get depressed about what we don't have in our life. We get agitated with people for being the way they are, and we get agitated with ourselves and others for being the way they're not. So coming back to the Thich Nhat Hanh reading, acceptance. You know, if there's one key to peace of mind, it's acceptance. And when acceptance becomes a little bit difficult, just become aware of your breath. A few minutes of awareness of your breath can bring such a transformation for the rest of your day. So learning how to cope with the stress of life is so valuable if we want to become peaceful individuals. Let's face it, life doesn't always go the way we want it to, does it? And in retrospect, thank God. But when we're in it, we don't realize it, do we? Stress and tension are the root cause of violence. Having a sense of belongingness with everyone on the planet. Having a sense of understanding and seeing each other not as distinct individuals based on caste, race, ethnicity, country, language, but as human beings first and foremost, can make such a difference. You know, that's actually one of the things that attracted me to the Art of Living Foundation, seeing that it wasn't present in so many different countries and that it was taught by people of so many different faiths and cultures and religions, from so many different walks of life, from people who are the wives of ambassador to the prime ministers and presidents of countries, to the guy who's driving your rickshaw in China. It's beautiful to see. So to be able to smile through any situation in life, you need a little bit of knowledge about yourself. We need to know a little bit about all the layers of our existence, the body, the breath, the mind, the intellect, the memory, the ego, and the self. Knowing just a little bit more about who we are and what makes us tick, and how we function in the world, we gain so much more insight into the minds of others as well. And as a friend of mine once said, it's a lot easier to change yourself than to change 6 billion people. So with this knowledge about ourselves, imagine with what clarity, what vision we can walk in this world. Spending just a few minutes a day in meditation, with some awareness of the breath and of an understanding, a knowingness of our deeper nature, which is love, which is peace. The human consciousness is structured like an atom. In an atom, the electrons are where? On the circumference, right? And the protons? Right there with the nucleus. And we are like that as well. Consciousness is structured like that. All this negativity that we get caught up in, realize that it's just on the circumference. It has nothing to do with you. And it can never penetrate your soul. Some people think that deep down I'm angry or deep down I'm negative. Actually, deep down, you're nothing but pure love and beauty. It's all this other stuff that's just passing over us like clouds in front of the sun. Your nature can never change. And if you want proof of this, just look into the eyes of a small child. And there you'll see that enthusiasm, that love, that peace, that joy, that is our very nature that never changes. We just have to find ways to handle the stress that comes up every so often. Spirituality enables us to broaden our vision in life and deepen our roots. Spirituality allows us to see others as we see ourselves, not through mere principles that we've read and heard about all our lives, but through an inward knowingness. Spirituality is what allows us to smile. Not because someone asked you to, but because you can't help it. So when you wake up in the morning, even if you find that people around you don't deserve a smile from you, at least, for goodness sake, wake up and see yourself in the mirror, smile. And if you can't smile looking at yourself, make faces, do something. But find a reason to smile. And you know what's so beautiful about smiling is that it's so infectious, especially when it's coming from the heart. And you alone, let alone thousands of us together, we can change the direction that the world is in right now. From not violence to nonviolence, from aggression to peace, from separation to unity. From stress to love. It is our birthright and our personal responsibility.
Thank you, Mona, very, very much. Let's just take a moment to place these ideas firmly in our consciousness, a brief treatment. First of all, with gratitude for this beautiful voice, this beautiful spirit, who just spoke to us as the Word of God recognizing itself in us. Recognizing that the awareness that we have of our body, of our mind, of our spirit, of our emotions, of one another, of our basic nature of peace and joy and life, that as we begin to share these thoughts and feelings with ourself, we become so much more than we have been for the last few years. We become what we truly are, and we begin to connect with that with others. This is our truth. So I invite you now to take a few moments in silence in your own mind to take these ideas and honor the awareness that Mona has shared, honor your own self-awareness, and honor that same beauty, spirit, and awareness in every other person. Take these few moments for yourself. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life. We accept this truth as our own. We embrace it. We honor it. And we release this knowing into consciousness, letting it go forth and do its good and perfect work for us now and always. And so it is.